have a couple prayer requests for this morning. Let's pray for Robert Nunez and his family who all have COVID. And then let's pray for the family of Caitlin Snyder. She moved to her heavenly home not long ago, and today would be her 30th birthday. And as a mother who has lost a child at the age of 21, I know the emotions and the feelings that come about whenever the first come around, you know, their first birthday without them being here, the first Christmases, and just, you know, the first holidays without their presence.
Yeah.
It can be tough.
Yeah.
So if we can cover them in prayer, absolutely, that would be great.
All right. Let's take some time to pray for these people. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we just approach your throne right now to lift up these people right here. But God, we pray for Robert Nunez and his family, God, who all have COVID. And God, we know what that's like. God, we know that's hard. That's difficult. God, I pray for not knowing the situation right now, but God, I pray for their symptoms. I pray that they're incredibly mild, almost non-existent. And it's almost just like a silly head cold. God, I pray that you would just bring healing over their body, that God, you would help it just to evacuate out of their body. God, I pray that you would allow them to rest. You would bring, you would help clear their lungs up. God, help them to be able to just continue to breathe regularly. God, I pray that if there's all the hacking and the coughing that's coming along with that, God, that you would heal their throats, God, from that. God, that you would just provide healing in all areas, that we know how COVID affects the people differently, and it's strange how this works. God, I pray that there's no long-lasting carrying over effects either, God. I just pray that they are able to get some sleep and some rest, and God, that ultimately you would provide healing over their family, and God, that they would get over this soon, and God, they would be able to bounce back quickly, and God, that it wouldn't have a grip on them for a long amount of time. So God, we just pray that in Jesus' name. And then Lord, we lift up the family of Caitlin Snyder. God, I just can't even imagine the pain and the hurt it is to experience someone so young, and God, to experience something like such a young birthday. All I know is how heartbroken and how life shattering and life altering that's got to be. And so, Father, I pray for her family as they are experiencing a very rough moment right now. But God, I know what your word has said, that you draw near to the brokenhearted. And that brings comfort in knowing that you are not a distant God who doesn't care about us, who just spun time in existence, got it going, and then stepped back. But no, God, that you love us so intentionally that you draw near us when we are heartbroken, when we are struggling through things. And that just shows your deep commitment and love for us. God, there's other verse that says that you don't only just draw near to the brokenhearted, but you bind up our wounds, God. So not only do you draw near and are physically close to us, but God, you are the God who heals emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. God, there's no other substance or things that we can turn to in this world that can offer us peace beyond understanding other than you. God, I pray that we would not try to fill in the gaps of missing the life of Caitlin with trying to fill it in with other things. But God, knowing that she is with you, first and foremost, that she is at her heavenly home. So God, that there's peace knowing that she knows you as her Lord and that she's with you in heaven. But God, that doesn't always make the day today any easier because she's not in our life for now. But God, we know that we will see her again for those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus. But God, right now I just pray that you would just continue to heal their hearts and their minds, God, from this deep loss. And God, you would just constantly be a reminder that you are there for them. And you are their constant. You are their what remains. You never fade away from this. You never will walk away from them in this moment. That God, that they can turn to you for a moment of strength. And God, that they would allow you to be that for them. So God, we give you the glory and praise We thank you for being a close God, for being an intentional God who loves us even in our darkest of moments. Thank you for never abandoning us or leaving us. So, God, we love you. We pray and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So before we go to our sponsors that are to be read and the recorded ones, would you be so kind, Jace, as to share the location, service times, and whatever you would like to share about your church?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I currently serve as the youth pastor at First Baptist Church Cheyenne. And for Sunday, this is the really cool thing. On Sunday, we do a breakfast every single Sunday. So if you are a large family or you're a single person and you're like, man, I don't want to cook breakfast, or we don't have anything to cook, come to First Baptist Church in Cheyenne, Oklahoma, and at 608 East Broadway Avenue, and 9 to 9:45, 9:50 every single Sunday, you'll have a breakfast. And it's a smorgasbord of all kinds of different things, mainly dessert kind of stuff. So if you like sugary things, you can come. We always have coffee and drinks, you know, all the stuff. So come and get physically fed. And then stay for Sunday school, which always starts about from 10 to 10:45. And then our morning worship starts about 10:50. And is over by noon. And so I would just pray and ask, I mean, if you don't have a family home or a church home that you don't plug into, come be a part of First Baptist Church of Cheyenne. And then we have a Wednesday programs. We do our children's and / worship pastor. He does an amazing job with our children's ministry. It's called Club Kick, Kids in Christ Kingdom, and it's a Wednesday program. It helps them memorize scripture, plug in, know the Bible a lot more, and so he does a great job in that. And then our youth group, Cheyenne Student Ministry, where every Wednesday from 5:30 to 7, you also get a meal. So come and eat dinner on Wednesdays. Mm. So that would be awesome to see someone from whoever's tuning in to come be a part of that.
Thank you for sharing. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here in the Promise Center, they are one of our sponsors. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Oak City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, please contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And the Refuge Church is located at 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. They are in the New Liberty Church now. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
From all of us here at PK & Company, great job, Barbara Dyson Ford, on your 5th President's Award. Thank you for your loyalty to our community.
This is Curtis Hutchinson. All of us here at Hutchinson Oil congratulate Barbara Dyson on your 5th President's Award. You deserve it.
Chad Smith here with Smith Ag. Congrats to Barbara Dyson on your 5th President's Award for your amazing customer service.
We want to thank all of you, our customers, as we celebrate this prestigious award. Come experience the difference at Barbara Dyson Ford and check us out at BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Jace Morrow. His title for this morning is The Good News. Back to you, sir.
All right. Well, I'd like to end with not just, hey, we need to share the gospel. Go share the gospel. Go do it. And then, like, expect you to know how to do it. And so I thought, I mean, I want to share with you a tool that I've been taught, especially through Oklahoma Baptist. Man, we are huge in evangelism, sharing the gospel. And shout out to one of my friends, Brian Baldwin, who does an amazing job with student evangelism. And so, but this is a good tool to have for anybody. And so this is called Good News. It's an acronym, GOODNEWS. I know that sounds scary, like, wow, that's a long one. But it's really not too hard once you get it down. But it's just a tool to have in your ministry belt to be like, man, I want to share the gospel. And like I said, this is not just for pastors. This is for anybody who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You are able to share the gospel. Not just invite them to church. You yourself, you are oftentimes the only Bible anybody's ever going to see. Because there are just some people that flat out won't come to church, and you've got to accept that. And so you can't just rely on your pastor or your anybody else to do it. God has called you and equipped you to do the same thing. And so, like I said, we've got to practice this thing. Evangelism is a lot like trying to play the guitar. I've tried to learn the guitar 4 times, and I have failed 4 times, and I'm still guitarless. Like, I still stink. I can't play the guitar. But for those that can, that are a little bit musically gifted, eventually, you're not just going to be able to pick up your guitar for the first time and just strum out a solo from Thunderstruck, AC/DC style. Like, you're going to be a little rough trying to learn the chords, trying to learn the right finger placements and things like that, until finally you get your fingers in the right place and you hit a solid chord, and it all just strums and sounds correct. Evangelism's a lot like that. It's going to be a little rough at first until you get used to it. But God doesn't expect you to share the gospel and just every time you're going to have somebody convert right there in the moment. It's not your job to make sure by the end of that conversation, they are immediately saved right then and there. Our job is to just plant the gospel and allow God to work in their heart and allow someone else to share the gospel. And it just keeps happening until they surrender to it. But how are they going to know if somebody's not sharing it or sent? You're sent. And so here we go. I want to share just real quick. I'm going to try to make this not as super lengthy as I know I can make it. But good news, GOODNEWS, the first place to start in the letter with the letter G is this. Go to God in prayer. Go to God in prayer. I want to share with you James chapter 5, verse 16, the second half of that verse that says this. The power of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And so, first off, remember that salvation is a work of the Spirit. It's not about you. And so before we talk to people about God, we need to be talking to God about the people. And so I would like for you, you know, think about 3 friends that you have in your life right now that you know without a doubt they don't follow the Lord. Not they don't go to church, because guess what? You can go to church and still miss out on Jesus. And that's unfortunate because it's a religious checkoff. Okay, I did my good deed for the day. I showed up. I did my thing. And that's not what a follower of Jesus' heart looks like. It's a surrendered heart. And so it's a spiritual matter. And so we need to be lifting up those people to God and asking God, God, please soften their heart to the message of Jesus. Give me an opportunity to speak to them about the gospel. And so we need to be talking to God about the people before we talk to people about the God, or before we talk to people about God. And so set an alarm every day. That's important to you. Like, set an alarm to pray for your lost friend daily. Like, set an alarm, set a reminder. And the subtitle of your alarm, like, put pray for Lindsay, pray for John, pray for whatever. And every day at that time when that goes off, I don't care what you're doing, pray for that person. Set an alarm to constantly remember that. However you need to do that, write a note, sticky note, put it on your mirror before you brush your teeth every day, because if you're not brushing your teeth every day, we'll start there. Do that too. But while you're praying, you know, silently pray in your mind, lift those people up to God, that God would open up doors, because it's a spiritual matter. So one, go to God in prayer, ask him to open up the conversation. The first O in good news is this, open up a conversation. That's a lot of problem. That's the whole gist of it. I don't know how to start. I don't know how to open up a conversation. Speak life with that person. Another acronym within an acronym, I know. But speak life to them. Location, interests, family, education. Where are you from? You know, what are you interested in? What do you like to do? What hobbies do you like? What movies do you like? Read any good books recently? Family. You got any siblings? No. Where'd you grow up at and stuff like that? And then education. especially like for students of where do you go to school if they're not local or and just stuff like that. You know, speak life to them. You don't have to go in that exact order, but that's part of our excuses. Well, I don't know what to say. Speak life with them. Where are you from? What are you good at? What are you interested in? You have a mom and dad? Are you sibling? Do you have siblings? You only child? Did you go to college anywhere? Where'd you go to high school at? Were y'all good at baseball? Or like, what sports did you play when you were there? Just anything. Have a conversation with them. And then here's the part of that. If you've ever drove a stick shift before, I imagine when you were learning, nothing was ever smooth. I'm pretty sure I about borderline burnt the clutch out of our Jeep that we had at one point. But the first time you find interest, whatever they're whatever they may be into, and then you slip in a question that shows, okay, this person wants to carry a conversation on with me. They want to talk. I'm like, hey, where, you know, do you go to church anywhere? And then from then, use that transition point to talk about the spiritual things of God. It doesn't have to be awkward. Because so many times, like, we make it difficult and like, how do I share Jesus without going, like, awkward with it of, hey, by the way, can I talk to you about Jesus? Because if you don't know Jesus, you're going to die and burn in hell for all eternity. Like, oh, wow, that's quite a mouthful. No, thank you, psycho. I don't want to do that. And so you're going to scare them off. But like finding ways to get plugged in with them, talking life with them, getting involved in the conversation and actually listening to the conversation. Don't be a jerk to just tune them out and not listen to what they actually are interested in because you're so focused on, okay, well, I'm going to say this. Be a part of the conversation. Let them know that you actually are interested in them. And so, you know, bring up something of, hey, you know, do you go to church? Did you grow up in church? Where do you go? And let them answer like, no, I don't go to church or anything like that. Or maybe I do. How I do that after I bring up, you know, talking to them, I go, bringing up a life thing, I go, man, you know, what's your favorite restaurant in Elk City? Or what's your favorite restaurant wherever you live at? Like, oh, man, I love Mexican food. We have like 20 locations in Elk City for Mexican food. Not really, but. Like, man, if we get tired of Pedro's, we go down to El Patio. If we get tired of El Patio, we go to Lupe's and stuff like, and you know, we smile. I was like, man, I love Mexican food. My family, we used to go to a certain Mexican restaurant, every Sunday after church. By the way, did your family, do y'all go to church or anything? Y'all do any of that? And then smooth transitioning. So you're not burning clutch, grinding the gears. Hey, can I share Jesus with you? Cause you're going to die. And like, you're like, hey, you know, where do you guys go to church? And shift into that conversation. Let them answer that. Yeah. And so go to God in prayer. Open up a conversation. Talk to them. Find that transition to open up a door that leads into spiritual conversation of asking, mm-hmm. Where do you go to church? Hey, what do you believe? Do you believe that there is a God? What do you believe happens when we die, like afterwards? And that's what's going to lead to your second O in good news is observe and admire what they believe. Observe and admire what they believe. Nobody has ever won somebody. I mean, I can't say nobody because I know majority of the time you're not going to win somebody over by arguing with them why they're wrong. That's just going to make them more mad because that's how I operate because I'm going to prove you no why you're wrong and your opinion's stupid, right? And so we don't want you. You're not going to do that. So you've got to build a bridge with them rather than build a wall. So you open up a conversation with God. You open up a conversation with them. You build talk life with them. Find that smooth transition of that lead to spiritual matter that opens the door of like, what do you believe? What happens? You know, what do you think? You know, where do you go to church? Well, what do you believe? Let them share what they believe. As wild as it might be. When I worked at the bank, I had a young lady share with me. I asked her these questions, like what she believed. I had no idea how to respond because it was so bewildering. Like, there's not even, like, a religion of what she's saying. I was just like, in my head, I'm screaming, you are psycho. This is crazy. But on the outside appearance, I've got to keep my cool because my jaw wants to hit the floor of, like, this is wild. Like, and she legitimately believes whatever she's telling me. But then admire her beliefs. You're not affirming of saying, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I agree with that. Like, you're just admiring her. Or admiring the person for what they believe because you're building a bridge, not a wall. So, like, if they're an atheist, I'm like, well, you know, I don't really, you know, I don't believe there's a God. You know, I believe in science or whatever. I'm like, hey, well, hey, I appreciate you sharing that with me, and I appreciate your love for science and logic. For maybe you're having a conversation with a Muslim. Obviously, we don't affirm what they believe, but we say, hey, you know what? I appreciate y'all's devoted y'all are to your prayer life. Like, man, that's I really admire that about y'all. Jehovah Witness, obviously, you know, man, I admire the fact that y'all believe that there's also one God, and y'all's dedication to evangelism. Man, y'all, I see y'all everywhere knocking on doors, whether they answer them or not. Like, man, I admire that about you. And so what you're doing, you're building a bridge that, one, it shows them, man, you're actually listening to what they're saying and that you care about them and what they're saying, that they're not just some project that you're just trying to win over, but you actually see them as people. And so you build a bridge with them. And then that's what translates over to the letter D for good news. So go to God in prayer, open up a conversation, observe and admire what they believe, and then describe what you believe. Now, after you've built that bridge with them of like, man, I admire, you know, how devoted y'all are to prayer or whatever it is that they might be. Even if, like, when we were at a training seminar and we role played this, and someone in the back was supposed to be the evangelist, and the other person was picked something crazy to believe. Someone was like, and they passed the mic around. They're like, well, my partner said he was a Satanist, a devil worshiper. And like, she said, I don't know where to go with that. Like, I admire your courage for sharing that. Like, don't affirm or admire anything about that. Just like, well, I admire your courage for sharing that. So anything, you can admire something. You're not affirming anything. But anyways, well, I admire that about you. Do you mind if I share with you what I believe? If they've already heard that you're opening up to them, you've talked about life situations, you've heard them out almost all the time, they'll go, sure, that's fine. And this is where you share the gospel. Whatever that method might look like for you, whether you're a Romans Road person, whether that's Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, or the one great hope, whatever it is, whatever method you want to use to learn a gospel presentation, do that. Don't master 20 versions. Master one that works for you and your personality and your style that you best can memorize. I love the Romans Road. I also love the one great hope, which is you go through, man, there's one great God. I believe that there is a one great God. He is righteous. He is creator of all things. He create, and he is creator and righteous, and he's holy. And the fact that he's holy means this, that he can have absolutely nothing to do with sin. And that's where there's one great problem, because in the garden, Adam and Eve, we have sinned against this holy God. And because of our sinfulness, it caused a division between us and God that we cannot fix on our own. There's no good deeds that could ever close that gap. We can't ever be good enough. But we have one great hope, that God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, who lived the sinless and perfect life that we can't do. He willingly died on the cross so that we could have forgiveness of our sin. And we believe that Jesus rose from the grave. And because he's alive, we can have forgiveness of our sin and eternal life. And now we have one great decision. If we believe those things, we can decide to put our faith and trust in Jesus for forgiveness of our sin and have a relationship with God the Father. This is where you could describe what you believe. And then in good news is note your testimony. So you've shared what you believe as a follower of Jesus. If you can't describe what you believe, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. You need to know what you believe. And then you note your testimony of saying, can I share with you my testimony of why I believe that? So this isn't your 30-minute seminar as to why and how you came to know Jesus. You probably got 2 minutes at best. Note your testimony. Know it down well enough. You can share it within like a 2-minute time frame. If you're sharing your testimony 15 minutes later, you've lost them. They're not going to sit there for the whole bit. Get it down to 2 minutes. You're not highlighting your sinfulness, but you're sharing who you were before Christ, how you encountered him, and how he's changed your life since. Because nobody, they may be able to say, oh, the Bible's this, the Bible's that, but nobody can speak against your testimony in the power that God has had in your life. Nobody can argue with that, because that is your personal experience, and that speaks loudly. And so that's why it's important to continue to pursue God every day, because you see him grow and mature you and change you in everyday life. And so you open up a conversation with, or you go to God in prayer. You're opening up a conversation. You observe and admire what they believe. You describe what you believe, and then you share your testimony, because nobody can argue about, no, that's not true. Like, yeah, it is, because I literally lived it, and that's the power I have. Examine if something like that's happened to them. This is where, so you don't drop the ball here, but after you share your testimony, ask, man, has anything like that has ever happened to you? Have you ever experienced anything like that? Or are you still trying to figure this whole thing out? Like, have you ever experienced God or in that way? And listen to what they say. They'll let you know. Listen to what they're putting their trust in. Is it in Jesus, or is it, yeah, I also believe, man, I'm just really trying to be a good person. That's what I get a lot of time. Man, I'm just trying to be a good person. Well, that's good. But being a good person on its own doesn't get you there. You know, listen to what they're putting their trust in. If they're like, yeah, man, I really try to be a good person. I try to do all the right things. I go to church. I try to be religious and stuff like that. But, and then I always segue and ask, they don't seem to talk about Jesus at all. If they are like focusing on trying to get to heaven without mentioning Jesus, that's a red flag. So I would ask this, if you were skydiving and if your parachute was a little loose, would you want me to say something? I mean, if y'all were skydiving and your parachute was a little loose, you would, and I noticed it, wouldn't you want me to go, hey, your parachute is not fully locked in, or it's not going to deploy like that? I would want somebody to tell me. And they're like, yeah. Like, well, I noticed that, you know, you're talking about this, but there's no mentioning of Jesus ever, you know, for that. You're not talking about Jesus very much. And so examine them. Welcome them to trust in Jesus. You know, so you've opened up a conversation with them. You've talked to them. You described the gospel message. You shared your testimony. You know, have that ever happened to you? Have you ever put your faith and trust, you know, God? Well, yeah, try to be a good person. Well, yeah, you've never really mentioned Jesus yet. And then W, welcome them to trust in Jesus. You've explained the gospel. How do you bring them to the point of decision? Two questions for me that I ask them is, has what I said make sense? And do you think that that's true? Of me sharing the gospel with you and what I've shared about God, you know, does that make sense? Do you take that as true? That do you believe the Bible is true? And if they're like, man, I don't understand that. They're like, you can go back over it with them. Maybe if they'll allow you, share the gospel a little bit more, maybe more in depth somehow. and if they go, hey, yeah, I do believe that. And like, you know, is there anything holding you back right now from putting your trust in God? And they might, but no. Like, do you mind if I lead you to that through a simple prayer? Because it's a prayer, but it's not the power. It's not the prayer itself. There's not a definitive line prayer that word by word you have to say and chant and like then immediately you're saved. It's not the words that you say, but it's the attitude of your heart, mm-hmm. of a submissive heart of going, man, God, I am broken. I'm sinful. I recognize you as God of all creation, that you loved me. Your son died for me and he rose from the grave. Man, please come into my life and save me. Man, if you pray that with all of your heart and meant it, man, you are a new creation. It's not chanting a special prayer. if you lead someone to that, like, man, if that makes sense to you and that's true, what's holding you back for right now? And they may say something. They may say something like, man, I'm just not good enough. Like, man, I'm sharing the gospel with you and I don't deserve it either. Like, man, you know, you can reiterate and talk about through some things, but man, if you lead them through that prayer, last letter S in the good news is show them what to do next. And so if you ask them, hey, would you want me to lead you through a prayer or tell you what you can pray right here, right now out loud to God? And it's as simple as this. Like I said, like it's the important is the heart's motive, not the words. But here's what I have as a simple prayer to acknowledge their sin and trust Jesus. That they acknowledge their sin and they trust Jesus. They get something simple as this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose from the grave. I trust in Jesus alone to be forgiven and to go to heaven. Thank you for saving me. Help me to live for you. Amen. Man, it could be something as simple as that or something expressive of their own heart. As long as they acknowledge that they're a sinner and that Jesus truly is God that died on the cross for them and rose from the grave. If they believe those things, and Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. and so you can be excited for them. They may not fully understand the excitement behind it, but you do. You can follow through and explain to them the importance of the Bible, you know, studying and reading the Bible, prayer, explaining to them, like getting plugged into your church or a church somewhere, eternal security, that they did nothing to earn salvation, therefore there's nothing they can do to lose salvation, and then baptism, that's like the first step of obedience, following through on Jesus. And so you just help them take those next steps in how to follow Jesus by plugging them into a church somewhere, equipping them, like the Great Commission suggested. And so there you go. Good news. I know that was a lot at one go, but go to God in prayer, open up a conversation, observe and admire what they believe, describe what you believe, note your testimony, examine if something like that's happened to them, welcome them to trust in Jesus, and then if they do, show them what to do next. We don't need to overcomplicate it, but we are called to be obedient and to live out the Great Commission. Not just live it out, but to use words as well.
Amen. Good message. Thank you so much for your willingness to come and share what the Lord puts on your heart, Jace.
Thanks for letting me come back.
He always brings good stuff.
Well, nah. Just live out whatever God lays on my heart, man.
God's faithful, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's so faithful. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Miss Tina Dobbs, and from our handsome brother in Christ, Jace Morrow. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.